morning, Solomon's Porch. Well, that was weird. I've never said that in the morning before. Please turn with me to Revelations chapter 2. And we'll be reading from verse 2. To 4, Revelations 2. We'll might as well read from verse 1. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands, say this, I know your deeds and your toil and perseverance, in that you cannot tolerate evil men, and you put it to the test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not, and you found them to be false. And you have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake and have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Amen. Amen. I get the privilege this morning to give 2016's last EMP, or at least last pastoral EMP. There's EMP tomorrow, but it's a CMP rather, or whatever the case may be. And to be honest, I wasn't exactly sure what I was going to be preaching about. But I felt that a word came to me in a very timely manner. In fact, it came at 3 a.m. in the morning last night. And this doesn't typically happen to me. Sometimes it does when, you know, I prepare a message for Sunday and then I wake up in the middle of the night and then I change it or whatnot. But this is definitely one of those instances where I felt like as I was sleeping, I guess, I woke up and I felt like God really had placed this onto my heart. Now, the passage in Revelations 2, I'm not really necessarily going to be teaching on it per se, but I'm going to be using it as kind of a springboard as to what I feel like God has been speaking to me in my spirit, and specifically what I feel like he's saying to us as SP, as a church, as we move into 2017 and as we leave 2016. And obviously, I'm not senior pastor of the church. It's not like a direction thing where, you know, PSAM kind of tells us this is where we're moving towards. But this is really in my own personal sort of what I feel in my heart and you know, also what was going on in my heart. But at the same time, I feel like God was encouraging us into how to move into 2017. Now, this passage in Revelation 2 really is talking about the church of Ephesus. And the church of Ephesus was actually quite a good church. In fact, Paul makes mention to the church, and he says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15, he says that he knows the love that he had for God and for others. And if you look at the epistles of Paul, many of the letters that were written to other churches, right? For example, to the Corinthian church, to the Roman church, or other whatever epistle, many of them were written to correct specific heresies that were going on in that church, right? Remember, some of them were because there were issues with people speaking out of place, or because they brought worship from other religions into the church, and that was specific to Timothy when he was teaching him how to lead a church, or even in Corinthians. Remember, they were living in a time when it was such an evil time, especially in the city of Corinth. There was a lot of prostitution and sin going on, and so Paul was writing to correct these things in the church. But the book of Ephesians, or rather the letter to the church of Ephesus, there was no intent to doing that at all. The intent of Paul was simply to encourage them. He was basically saying to them, you guys have done a good job. Continue in what you're doing. Now, however, Revelations now tell us that, in fact, yeah, you did a great job in many things. The only thing that they Christ had against the church was that they fell from their first love. So what happened? What many scholars believed, and in fact, historically, what we see is the founding members of the church of Ephesus. Remember, Paul spent about 3 years in and around the church of Ephesus. And during that time, there were many people who came alongside Paul and grew this church. And this church was actually full of many zealous believers. In fact, the church was full of people who did not necessarily know the Old Testament or the Septuagint or whatever the case may be. And it was full of Gentiles, and so people who did not necessarily know how to live Christian lives, but it were people that loved Christ, people who wanted God, people who basically became part of this church because they saw the power of Christ, or maybe they saw Pentecost, and now they're saying, God, we love you. And so they did many good things. They loved God, and they loved each other. And what happened was eventually it got to a time where many of the founding members, and speaking specifically the Revelation passage, was many of the many of the founding members died off, and the second generation of the believers started coming into the leadership of the church. And what had started happening was this. Though the founding members, remember, they had zeal and not very much knowledge, but the second generation, as they grew and as Paul taught them, what happened was they got a lot of knowledge, but the zeal ended up dying off. And so what ended up happening was, yes, although they were still doing the right things, yes, although they were still doing, Ephesus was a very busy church. It was a very big set of group of churches, in fact. But what God was saying to them was this: you are busy, but you're not doing it with the right motives. You're doing a lot of things, but you're not doing it for me. Now, this is really interesting because, like I said, I really felt like this was a very timely word for us, especially because, one, it's the end of 2016 and we're moving into 2017. And for me personally, there was a very personal thing that I got from this as well. But I think for us, especially with the fast coming up, I really felt like, and I'm not going to be talking necessarily about the fast and that you should fast. That's not what I'm, or you should, well, I mean, you should fast. But this is not a message to convince you that you should. But you see, one of the things I really felt like for us as a church especially is, you know, SP is a busy church, right? There's a lot of things that we do here. A lot of corporate things, events, right, like the fast, a lot of activities, a lot of services. And one of the things that we really value here at SP is service and really leading in this church and serving the church. And so I know many of us are quite busy in the church. But one of the things that I felt like that, you know, God was speaking to us about, or especially to me, but I felt like for us to lead into 2017 especially, is though we are a busy church, are we really doing it because we love God, or is it because it's something we've grown accustomed to? Is it because we love God, or is it because these are the traditions that we're used to year in and year out? See, one of the things that I believe really happens to us is, much like the Church of Ephesus, especially even for myself, many of us came into SP and we saw the intensity of the things that we do here, right? The 21-day fast, you know, we've never done it before, and we do it, and we have this amazing experience with God, right? Not just that, right? Maybe it's the first time we've served or gone on a mission trip or whatever the case may be, and we have these amazing experiences with God. And then over the years, as we remain in SP, what happens is, this is now our third or fourth or fifth or sixth fast or fifth mission trip or you know, 10 gazillionth time we've served in welcoming or the well or whatever the case may be. And we've gotten to a point now where we're so used to doing it. And now we're doing it out of this tradition rather than loving God. And then not only that, before we knew what to do, before we understood what everything was about, we did it because we felt the zeal of God. We felt Holy Spirit speaking to us, and we felt like, oh man, I want to try and I want to move because I feel this compelling desire from Holy Spirit to do it. But now maybe after all the years of listening to PCM's messages on the fast, right? Oh, I've heard these messages before, or we've gone through seasons like this before. Now, instead of moving out of zeal, we simply move out of knowledge. Well, one of the problems with that, my friends, is knowledge is not good enough. Right? One of the things that Paul corrects the church especially in 1 Corinthians, was the idea that knowledge puffs up, right? It's this idea that when we know or we think we know something or we simply do things out of knowledge, our heart becomes arrogant. And we simply do it out of this thing of, oh, I know what to do. I know how to do this. And we forget the love of God. And we forget the reason why we're doing it in the first place. Now, I told you I had a very personal revelation for myself. And really, it ties in into this idea is because, you know, even as I was reading this last night, and, you know, very, very timely, especially in 2016, is as I was reading this, you know, at first I was like, you know, I was a little grumpy. I was like, God, I can't go back to sleep. Why'd you wake me up? And, but as I was reading this and I was, you know, I was praying, I was like, well, God, I can't go back to sleep. And I know there's something you want to say to me. I started reading it over and over. And this idea of you have lost your first love really stuck with me. And so I asked God, God, have I lost my first love? And he reminded me to one of the times I was having quiet times with him. And I remember saying to God, you know, especially now because I'm doing seminary and I lead a bunch of ministries here and being a pastor and all these sort of things. I remember saying to God, God, I remember I felt like it was easier for me to preach. Or I felt like, Lord, it was easier for me to tell people not what to do, but to bring truth to people or to pray for people or to love on people before I became a pastor or before I started seminary, before all the contexts and hermeneutics and all the Bible study tools and all the Greek word keywords and all the Hebrew and all the, before all of these things, Lord, I felt like it was easier, in fact, to do these things, to be a pastor, because I felt like at the time I knew a little less, well, maybe I knew a lot less, but all I had was this love for God. And I wanted to see people love God, and I wanted to see people go through the experience with God. And so I did all things out of love for him, and things were so easy. And I remember God kind of saying to me, and he asked me a very simple question. He said, Ricky, are you pastoring, preaching, studying, praying because you love me? Or is it because it's now your vocation? When he asked me that, I was like, oh. I literally felt this almost this grievance in my heart because I realized, Lord, you're right. You know, there have definitely been moments where I'm pastoring, not necessarily out of the love for God, but now because it's part of my work. Now because, and I mean, to be honest, because I'm surrounded by 24/7 with my studies and house show, all these sort of things. In some ways, it's become a craft more than out of my love for God. And in some ways, it's because I've gotten much better at it now that it's just kind of come second nature, right? It's not something where I have to be like, Lord, please talk to me. Please speak to me, right? If someone talks to me, it's like, hey, this is what you should do. And I felt this grievance in my heart thinking, Lord, in some ways, I feel like I'm doing a good job and I feel like I'm doing well, but I've lost my first love. I'm not doing the things that I used to do, right? I'm doing the right things. But like the Church of Ephesus, it was entirely for the wrong motives. It was simply to get something done. It was simply maybe to do it because I had to. And or you know, there were times when I remember talking to people or counseling people where I felt like I was tired to do it. I felt like I was saying the same things over and over. And, you know, to be honest, if I was doing it out of the love for God, that simply would not have happened. And so especially as we lead into 2017 and going to this fast, you know, I feel like the question that the Lord has for us is this: why are we doing what we're doing? Why are we doing what we're doing? What is the point of our lives coming to at the end of 2016 and at the end of or beginning of 2017? Are we doing all that we do out of the love of God? Are we doing the best that we can in our work, in our ministries, in the way we love each other, in the way we treat our families, in the way we, you know, whatever the case may be, are we doing it because we love God? Or are we doing it because we're in a place now where we're used to doing what we do we're used to doing what we do, and we've gotten good at doing what we do. Are we, in fact, you know, going to the fast? Are we fasting because we're afraid of PSAM? And I mean, you know, I mean, that's a good thing too, but I mean, in many ways, that's not a good enough reason, right? And in this way, the question too is, are we fast? I mean, if we are choosing the fast, are we fasting what we're fasting because we love God, or because it's easy for us to do, or because it's something we know we're capable of doing? And so let the Holy Spirit speak to us in this way. Why do we do what we do? Is it out of a holy and pure desire of loving God? Do we do what we do because we remember what God has done for us and we are simply responding to Him? Or is it because it is out of duty, it is out of tradition, it is out of simply because we've been here for a long time? Because we've been so well taught by PSAM, because we've been so well taught by His teaching that we know, right? We have concepts and understanding of the Scriptures, but now it's simply out of a head knowledge, but not out of a love in our heart. And so it's just a very simple EMP, a very simple idea. What is driving you in 2017? Right? What is going to be causing you to do what you do? Because ultimately, I mean, even from a personal point, you know, when I do it out of love for God, everything becomes so easy. When I preach out of a love for God, I mean, let me give you some pastoral insight. In that, you know, into what I do and all the pastoral staff. You know, one of the things that can become difficult as a pastor, especially when it comes to preaching, is seeming like you're saying the same things over and over and over again. One of the things that really, and at least I know it affects a few people, I don't know if it affects PSAM, I don't know if anything affects PSAM per se, but for me, I would say sometimes I feel like I'm saying the same things over and over. And I remember sometimes it gets to this point where I'm thinking, man, isn't there anything new, God? Right? Or I feel like, man, I feel like people at some point will get tired of hearing the same thing or talking about the same issues or whatnot. And I feel that way. I realize it's not because out of a love. It's because it's out of a duty, right? The reason why I feel this way is because I want to bring fresh revelation every single time. I want to feel like I'm doing a good job in this way. But you see, the love of God would simply compel me to speak whatever truth God has given to me without thought of if this is something God has spoken over and over again, or if something I've spoken over and over again. And so when I do things out of love, it simply becomes, am I pleasing God? Am I doing it out of a place for love? Now, I mean, I said that just to give you a little bit of idea. And so if your pastor has been telling you the same thing over and over, maybe God's trying to say to you the same thing over and over, right? I mean, give some grace, right? Right? Always remember, we always say, if we go into service and we think, oh, I've heard this again, right? The attitude, right? The issue is not with the pastor, it's with us, right? Because our heart is in a place where it's hard, and now knowledge has puffed us up, and so we think we know, and we don't allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us in this way. And so let's close our eyes, right? As I ask Sarah to come up. Right, back to that same question. Why are we doing what we're doing? Why do we do what we do? Why are we fasting? Why have we chosen the specific fast we've chosen? Is it because we love God? Is it because we desire to please Him? Or is it simply to satiate PSAM? Or is it simply because to satiate our need to, you know, not feel guilty because everyone else is doing it? Are we choosing the fast that we've chosen because we can, or it's easy? Or is it because this is what God has given to us? And this is what we want to do to love Him. And so I'm going to send a challenge to us, okay? I know there are many different types of fasts. PCM talked about it, absolute, partial. And I know in this day and age, there's now the social media fast and all these sort of things. But SP, I'm gonna send us a challenge. You know, biblically, there's really only mention of two types of fasting, right? In that, besides 1 Corinthians 7:5, I believe it is, where it talks about fasting from sex to pray, every other type of fast, or every other scripture that talks about fasting in the Bible, really has to do with food or water or something to do with us eating. And so I want to challenge us to do this. Now, if you're doing a social media fast or any other fast like that, right, don't feel guilty. But I'm going to challenge you. Take a step up. Take a step up in faith. Right? Don't just do social media. Do that and also some type of food, right? Biblically, that's what it is, right? Even if it's just candy, right? Or even if it's just one type of licorice that you really like, whatever the case is. Now, if you're doing a fast that you've done before, you know, and you're not sure if this is what God's calling you to do, let me also challenge you. Right? Maybe take a step up this year. If you did Daniel last year and, you know, you had all types of vegetables, maybe this year just to have one. Right? Anyway, let the Holy Spirit speak to you in this way. Why do we do what we do? Let's us enter into 2017 with our first love. Let's do it because we love God and we desire to please Him.
Place of a
keep praying. Let's really ask God to search our hearts and to show us what are the motives of our heart. Jeremiah tells us that the heart is deceitful and sick, and no one can understand the depths of their heart. And so let's ask God, Lord, why do I do what I do? Father, do I really love you? I mean, we love God, right? I have no doubt. But does that love transition into our actions? And so let's pray. Let's continue to ask Him. Turn to our community focus. Let's pray for those suffering from cancer and cancer-related issues. Let's pray for God's full and complete healing over them. Let's ask for Him to remove the tumors, remove pain, and just for full and complete healing in their cells, in their organs, in all things. Let's lift up. Pray for those in need of healing, but salvation as well. Let's pray the Holy Spirit will do only what He can do. Let's pray for an opening of their hearts. Let's pray that they will soon confess that Jesus is Lord. Let's also pray for God's healing over them as well, that this is an opportunity, not just for God's power, but for His grace to enter into their lives. Let's pray. Pray for those in need of healing from non-cancer related infirmities. If you guys have noticed, the list is a lot shorter because we broke up the list, so it makes it easier to read. And so, yeah, let's just pray. Let's pray for covering. Let's just pray for God's providence, especially especially those who've been going through their suffering for a long time. Let's just pray for healing and for comfort. pray for those in our community in need of work. Let's pray for God's anointing and favor over them. Let's pray, especially during this time, that God will just provide for them all that they need. Let's lift up. Go to our mission focus. Let's lift up Cambodia and Grace. Most of you guys, if you don't know, Grace is actually going to be making her way back to Hong Kong quite soon. She will have finished with Bloom already, and she'll be coming back in January, and she'll be taking a six-month period to pray and to seek what's coming next. And so if you guys can really lift her up in this way. She plans to go back to Cambodia, but praying about exactly where the Lord is leading her. So if you can lift her up, just pray that she'll have a good transition back to Hong Kong, pray for all her logistics, and pray that God will speak to her clearly in this time, and especially that she'll have good rest before she embarks into the next part of her journey. Let's lift up P. Sophia as well. She's in Japan. Let's pray for covering over her. Pray for covering specifically over her health, especially over migraines and sickness and whatnot. And so let's really pray for our missionaries. Pray for the mission missions council as well. If you could pray for me and Jay, Janella, John Kang, Jumin, Timothy, and Deb. If you guys can pray that we'll be able to hear from God as to how to really lead the church into missions. And I also pray that God will open opportunities for us as well to enter into missions in the Middle East in the next year. And so please pray that we'll have wisdom to know which is the right place and what we need to do. Pray for our local outreach. Let's pray for Igape, Homi, SP Lights, Freedom, Bridge, and Recreation. Let's really pray that God's anointing really falls on all of those who serve in this way, that all the people they meet in Hong Kong, basically, will see the love of God in our missionaries, basically our local missionaries, and that they will also come to know the love of Christ. Let's pray. Pray for our Friday evening activities, IP and SPU tonight. Let's really pray that God will, in His Spirit, will just really show up and just knock the socks off the students, and that He will lead IP into being able to pray for what God's heart is. And so let's pray. One last thing is, let's just really pray for this transition from 2016 to 2017. Let's pray for our church. Let's pray for our house churches, our family members, our friends in SP. Let's really pray that all that we do this year is really going to be God-focused. And so in that same vein, let's also lift up the fast as well, that everyone in the church will partake in this corporate fast to love and to please God. And so let's lift up. Father, we thank you, God, so much for your grace, Lord, and your mercies, Father. We thank you, Lord, that God, you call us to a love and intimate relationship with you, because ultimately you know that is what is best for us. And so, God, I pray, Lord, that as we transition from 2016 to 2017, that, Lord, you continue to remind us. Holy Spirit, we give you permission to really check our hearts. Lord, are we truly living for you? Do we love you? Do we act, Lord, in all ways, Lord, because of who you are, Lord? And so, God, help us, God, to remember the zeal that we once had when we were saved. God, not just because we know so much now, but because we remember the great mercies that you had for us and you still have for us, so that, Lord, we can love you, so that we can do all things, God, for the sake of your name. And so, Lord, thank you for my friends that are here today. Lord, I pray that your blessing over them, God. I pray that you'll cover them. I pray against backlash, Lord, against them. And Lord, I ask, God, will you anoint the works of their hands, God, that all things that they put their hands to will be fruitful, God. And I pray that through their lives, God, that many will come to know you. And so thank you for them, God. And so, Lord, we bless you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bless you guys. Have a good time of prayer. We'll see you back tomorrow.